You're listening to The Striking Corner, your source for Muay Thai and kickboxing news worldwide.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to The Striking Corner. I am your host, Eric Rivera, and it is good to be back. Today is actually Monday, February 2nd. It's after the Super Bowl, and we are also continuing on with those festivities. We are bringing you a top-notch podcast dedicated to everything Muay Thai and kickboxing. And as always, my good friend Vinny Scotto is here along with me. Say what's up, Vin.
Hey, everybody. How's it going? How'd you enjoy the Super Bowl?
So basically, we're all still recovering from all the beer drinking and wing eating of the Super Bowl, but we're going to get to it and talk all things Muay Thai. And today is going to be a show dedicated specifically to real Muay Thai all the way from Thailand. And we're going to talk about the ins and outs of the Muay Thai scene currently going on in Bangkok and all around Thailand. And for that, we brought in a really good friend, somebody very knowledgeable about the sport, coming all the way from Thailand by way of Hamburg, Germany, our good friend from Muay Thai's, Timo Ruga. What's up, Timo?
Nothing much. Thank you, Eric and Vinny, for having me. It's actually an honor to be on this podcast.
All right. Well, we're glad that you're honored to be. We're honored that you're honored to be on our podcast. Not many people have said that to us, so thank you. Thank you very much for those kind words. So, Timo, first things first, a lot of people know you from Muay Thais. People that don't know you, Timo is the man that has pretty much put up a lot of the top-notch fights that are going on all over Thailand, has been uploading them to YouTube, shooting them, helping us all see them here and follow along the Muay Thai scene, which years ago was a very difficult thing to do, to really know what was going on in the Thai Muay Thai scene. And so, Timo, both Vinny and I wanted to ask you, how does a guy from Hamburg, Germany, make his way to Thailand? And, how did you start in the Muay Thai scene shooting these getting involved in the fight game?
I tried to make it as short as possible. I went to Thailand for a holiday or Southeast Asia 14 years ago after working at a local TV station in Hamburg for about 2.5 years. And I was pretty burned out after that. It was 70, 75 hours a week. And then I took a long holiday and I fell in love with, I went everywhere in Southeast Asia, but I enjoyed Thailand the most. And I decided I wanted to go here, and I looked for a job, and I found an internship at a news agency first. And then I did that and this and that. And then, in fact, I ended up in Muay Thai because of my family, because I met my wife here 4 or 5 years ago, and the whole family is involved in Muay Thai. The mother-in-law is the editor-in-chief of the second biggest Muay Thai magazine here, paper magazine, and my brother-in-law is involved in Muay Thai. And so I was a journalist, they were involved in Muay Thai, so I put one together and I started to look it up and just go to the stadiums.
Very cool, very cool. And so, like I was saying, it was very difficult a couple of years ago. Vinny, you could attest to that too. For both of us that were so into Muay Thai, I mean, it was really hard to follow the Muay Thai scene. You would only get, every once in a while, you would be able to find a fight on YouTube or find a fight. This was a couple of years ago. I mean, I remember I would go to New York and go to Chinatown and there was a Thai store and I would actually buy DVDs that these guys would burn on DVDs and VCDs and bring them all the way over from Thailand, and I would buy them for like $5 or $6. So it was really hard for Americans to follow the Muay Thai scene, even the ones that were really passionate about it. What made you decide, I'm going to start going to the stadiums and start shooting these? And did you think it was going to be, a lot of people now know your name in the Muay Thai community here in the United States and know Muay Thais and appreciate what you do, but did you really think it was going to take on or get as big as it was going to be here, that you were going to be so well known for that? Was that something that you just wanted to start doing as a hobby? How did that begin?
Well, in all fairness, obviously I didn't want to do it for one viewer, but also at that time, I always said, and I always say, I'm a beginner at this sport. A good 3.5 years ago, I didn't know anything about Muay Thai, and so basically, I learned it while I was filming it. And in all fairness, I have to say, at that time when I was starting it, there was still a guy on YouTube around called Live Muay Thai Guy. I think everybody knows him here. Mm-hmm. And he was regularly doing it also. So I wasn't alone, but I thought, you know, I can film, I can have access to the stadium because of my family. I also have to say that it's not like everybody can walk in there. So I'm very grateful for my family giving me that opportunity. And then I had a camera and I started to enjoy the sport. I started to wanting to know more about the sport and I started filming and then people started to watch. And now we are, I don't know, a good 15,000 subscribers. And I do have to say I'm a little bit surprised, to be honest.
Did you know anything about Muay Thai before you started filming? Like, did you hear of it, or when you moved to Thailand, was it completely new to you?
No, I was at Lumpini 3 times before, I think. So, and I think I can say it on here. I was drunk, and so I didn't know anything about Muay Thai. I knew it existed, and I was used to the culture of Thailand. I was here already for more than 10 years, so I knew the culture. I it wasn't all new to me, but as on fighters, as in names, I did not know anything, and I learned while doing it, and I'm still learning today.
Very cool, very cool. You were talking a little bit earlier about this, and when we spoke a little bit earlier off air, Timo, and I was really I really got interested by the comments you made, and you said in a lot of ways you think that Americans need to see also, obviously, with the growth in the United States of Muay Thai, we have Lion Fight, but we also have the growth, and is one thing that we also cover here on the Striking Corner, which is the growth of kickboxing, Glory, now Legacy, you know, Dutch style kickboxing. But you also said that, you know, you think that Americans also need to see the Muay Thai from Thailand, that they need to see what's going on over there. And why do you think that is? Why do you think that we need to always be connected to that?
Because I like kickboxing as well. I do follow Glory, and I think they do a great show there, and have good fighters there with Joe Schilling and Gabriel Waga, and it's good. But they all relate, not everything, but a good portion of it is all coming from Muay Thai, and so people in America should know where it all comes from and see the roots of the sport, and then maybe get in touch with the culture of the sport. Everything what's around, the respect people have for the sport, and what I was interested in is that a lot of Muay Thai fans, maybe not from America but some, they are even more into the Thai cultural aspect of the sport than actually some Thai people are, and that always amazed me, and I think it's a great thing.
I know Vinny will chime in on this, because he's, you know, what we've seen here in the United States, and this is something that sort of bothers me. Sometimes it bothers me, but I understand why they do it. And you brought it up a little earlier when we spoke about it too, Timo. See, here in the United States, yeah, it seems that we really love the culture. I know Vinny loves to see the Y Crew. He loves to see the whole the culture behind the fight before it gets started. But you're starting to see that limited here now, and more and more. And Americans tend to be like, oh, well, you know, at the end of the day, it's a fight. We just want to see the fight. We don't want to see, you know, the entire celebration or culture around it. Some people don't seem to be enamored by that, you know, by that Thai culture anymore. It seems to be fading out. Lion Fight has sort of limited the Y Crews. They've taken out the music of the fight, which used to happen as well in some of the stadiums. So they've had to Americanize it quite a bit more. And for people that are traditionalists, such as myself, and I know Vinny will chime in as well, that was something that that really, for some of the guys that really loved the Thai culture and the Thai culture around the fighting, we sort of missed that. But is that something that in Thailand, do they feel that has to be an integral part of Muay Thai, or do they see American Muay Thai and say, oh well, you know, they have to do that, or do they get offended when they see that those things have been removed?
Well, one thing everybody should understand, and I think most do, it's a business here as well. There's a lot of gambling on the fights, and so it's not all pure. It would be silly for me to say it's all pure. It's a business. It's a big business, a gambling business, and we have promotions coming out of Thailand, like Thai Fight and Max Muay Thai, or the Top King World Series, which came out big last year, and they all have reduced the clinching, for example, a little bit, and the Y Crew is a little bit shorter. But the real deal at the stadiums, you have the full Y Crew, you have the music. And I think the music is kind of like, for me now, if I hear it, I know, all right, I'm going to see a fight. So I like the music, but I understand that it has to be made a little bit more, I wouldn't call it Americanized. It's like a little bit more exciting and quicker for people. I understand that part.
Well, I think one of the reasons why they change it up here in America, like for people, they're trying to grow the sport still. And at this point, the Americans don't know what the Y Crew is. So when they see it, they're sitting there going, what is this? Why is this happening? Because they don't know the culture. And I think that's one of the reasons why they, you know, eliminate things like that.
That's for me a very good point, because this whole filming the fights at the stadium, that's one thing I do. And what I want to do, but I also have to find the time, is I want to show the fighters, the backgrounds of the fighters, the background of the sport, going to gyms and film that, going to have, for example, a referee have a word, tell me something, how he became a Muay Thai referee, to show people around the world everything around Muay Thai, not only the fights. So you're right. It's people don't know, and the sport is definitely still growing around the world. And America, yes, is one of the biggest countries where it's growing.
Well, you know, I wanted to add to what Vinny just said. I think in a lot of ways, it's sort of a good thing and a bad thing when these cultural things have been removed. But the reason why I think it's a good thing, because it means the sport is growing. And what happens is when the sport grows, the diehard fans, which are all of us that know the culture, that know the sport, that have been involved in the game for a long time, we don't like to see those things go. But when it grows, it starts influencing people's lives that don't have that background in Muay Thai. They don't know the culture and the cultural aspects. So in order to keep them sort of engaged, and I remember Eric Haycraft. I spoke to Eric Haycraft a while back, who's a great coach here in the United States. And he said that sometimes for the American public, the fan that doesn't know anything about Muay Thai, they're not going to want a cultural, let's say a cultural education before they see their fight. They're not going to want to be educated before they see their fight. They just want to see the fight. They just want to see two guys go at it. And then maybe later, as you go along, you can start integrating and start teaching them about the culture behind the fight. So I think it's in a way, it's a consequence of the growth. As it grows, it goes to more people that probably don't appreciate the actual culture behind the sport as much as we do, and they just want to see the fight, which is why I see sometimes here in the States, Timo, which is why I see that Glory has sort of taken on and grown, because it's got a lot of the entertainment and the big lights and all that type of stuff and the drama that the American public, and I don't know how it is in Europe, but the American public seems to just, you know, chew that up.
Yeah, definitely. But then you have a lion fight and you have Kevin Ross lighting up the place every time. So that's something, you know, I'm looking forward to see the rematch in March. Is it in March? Yeah, in March. Kevin Ross at Lion Fight. I mean, it's good. Glory has his place. K1 has his place. And I absolutely think it should have its place. But Muay Thai will slowly grow grow in America as a sport, but then the people will understand, like you said, later, a little bit later, they can be fed some more and the Y Crew will be explained and everything. I think you're absolutely right on that one.
Well, moving on from there, I wanted to also discuss, you know, which is something that was very interesting to me. The times that I've gone to Thailand, and then I've talked to gentlemen such as Rob, which you know as well, who's over there in Thailand, and I've spoken with other people that are involved in the Muay Thai scene in Thailand. It seems that the popularity of Muay Thai in Thailand has sort of enjoyed, or I would say suffered from, somewhat of an ebb and flow in interest from the common fan in Thailand. Now, when I went the last time I went, which was a couple of years ago, I don't think Thai Fight wasn't that big yet, or it hadn't even started yet. So the amount of the Muay Thai that was really going on at that moment was simply localized to the stadiums such as Raja, Lumpini, the Channel 7 stadiums, all these different stadiums that were there. There wasn't anything like a Thai fight. And I wonder, do Thais see this, you know, because you have the elites socioeconomically, the elites in Thailand, and then the working class in Thailand. Is Muay Thai seen more as a working class sport? Do people with money go to see Muay Thai, or is it sort of something that's like a fringe over there? Even though it's mainstream, do they sort of cast it aside? And how is that working? I know Thai fight kind of brought in the entertainment value up and started bringing in new fans, but how has that worked? Is Muay Thai fading in Thailand, or is it always going to remain the same?
When I started 3 years ago, people told me it's fading, and I had to believe it because I didn't know anything. I don't see it fading at the moment. Actually, I see it growing, and even in Thailand, because it was true at that time. Ratchathamnern, for example, was empty, and it was very It looked like not many people go there, but if I go from 3 years ago to now, Ratchedom Nern and also Lumpini until the new one opened, it just got bigger again and bigger again. And then you add up TIE Fight to it, Max Muay Thai, and all the other promotions are popping up and trying to bring Muay Thai to a bit more upper class people, if that's the correct word. Because you're right, in the stadiums, there's a lot of gambling going on. It always has a bit the reputation of being a bit dodgy. And middle class or upper class Thais actually don't go, but there are people out there who are trying to change that. That's young promoters, young blood promoters, and all the a little bit more dramatic promotions like Thai Fight. So I don't think it's fading in Thailand. I think we are on a good way here now to grow it again now.
Do you think that the growth in other countries is part of the reason that it's growing again in Thailand?
Definitely. Because if you see, they all see, again, it's a business. They all see there's money to be made and good gyms. They have a lot of foreigners coming over to train. I think that's been like this 4 years ago also, but I can just see it now that gyms are being renovated and there are better rooms for foreigners. And it's not only a money-making machine for them. They actually, a lot of gyms I visited, they actually take very good care of their visitors, foreigners who train. So yes, it helps that people here say, oh, the rest of the world is interested, so we might as well be interested as well also.
In your opinion, Timo, that you've seen all these, you've met some of these fighters, you've spoken to a lot of these fighters, you've gone to these gyms, because it used to be where Muay Thai fighters in Thailand pretty much were, you know, young guys or young men from maybe the poorer regions of Thailand and not the wealthy classes of Thailand. They used to fight because that was the only, pretty much the only way out. And even in Muay Thai, I feel like even if they do well inside the Muay Thai circuit in Thailand, before there was this global expansion of Muay Thai, their growth and the opportunities to win money were somewhat limited to simply the stadiums in Thailand. But with the growth of Muay Thai around the world, are we seeing people coming out from different areas of the Thai society to train Muay Thai? Is it still the same people? And also, do these fighters that are fighting now, do they look forward to possibly competing some abroad, or do they, or are there people that like to stay somewhat limited still inside the Rajas and the Lumpinis?
I think the fighters are still the same. You've got the people from the northeast, Isan, and you've got the people from the poorer southern regions, the very, very deep south one. But due to having more promotions, like Max Muay Thai is now a weekly show at Pattaya. They build an own stadium there just for those shows. And obviously they need fighters every week, Thais and foreigners, which is also a great opportunity for foreigners who come to train here to actually get a fight or train here longer and get a fight. Because before it was just local shows or on Sunday at the Ratchedom Nern or at the undercard. So there is a need of more fighters and there are more shows, but the real stadium fighters still come from the poor regions. And but yeah, they can see the example of people. There's I think you heard about it. Pacon will go to, was in England, will go again to England, will fight Liam Harrison. I think a couple of years ago, it wasn't possible that a guy like Pacon can go. Yes, we have Sen Shai, he's a legend. We have Bua Khao, of course, and Yotsen Klai, and a couple more, but then the people underneath that, like Pacon, like Pet Pun Shu, he was in Scotland. The elite fighters who didn't have the chance before to fight internationally, they get a lot more attention now, and so it helps. And yeah, we'll see more fighters going abroad and fighting on promotions outside of Thailand.
These fighters that fight abroad, how is that seen now in Muay Thai and in Thai society? You know, that the sport is growing in Thailand and these fighters are moving abroad and they're actually being able to showcase Muay Thai on the world scene. Do you see that that Thai society is sort of now starting to gravitate a little bit more towards accepting the sport more, or at least more people are starting to watch it?
Yeah, you can see it. Well, there's only going to be one Bua Khao, like it or not. He's basically like the face of Thailand now. He's like an ambassador for Thailand, they call him. And Thai Fight is actually doing exactly that. They are bringing they're bringing a bit more like a movie stars are going there, some models, and it's seen to be seen. People go there. They brought in the French guys, the Pinto brothers, Leo and Antoine, and those, the two brothers are very famous here now because they are also quite good looking. The girls like them, and they're going to TV shows, so they're more accepted. And people like Pacon, who wouldn't have the chance to go somewhere, and now all of a sudden he's flying to England and doing this and doing that. And it's a long way though, because like I said at the beginning, there's only one Burkow, and after that, that is what I see is the biggest challenge here is for the stadiums and for the promotions like Max and TIE Fight and Top King, is create new stars. You have to create new stars, and creating new stars is not so easy, because it's not like in a soccer. I know, Eric, you like soccer. It's not like the stars are there, and then they automatically, if you play for a big club later, then you are going to be a star. If you want it or you don't want it, you are. And here you have to create the stars. There are so many stadium fighters who are, you know them, and I know them, and Vinny knows them, but a lot of Thais don't. And you have to create stars, and Thai Fight is doing a good job, and everybody else is doing a good job also, that we are getting new stars. And I hope I can do just a little tiny part also by bringing the fights, and later maybe a little bit more in-depth videos for to people outside.
Sanchai and Blackout, were they the ones that you feel are the two top celebrities in Muay Thai right now that sort of brought Muay Thai a worldwide exposure that it did not have before? Or who do you think are the guys that have led the way in that sense?
Not for the diehard fans. For the diehard fans, they knew since the golden era who's who, and because I get in touch with a lot of people who know more about Muay Thai than I do, and I can still learn from those people. And the diehard fans knew about everybody, Sang Tian Noi, Diesel Noi, all the legends from the golden era. But for the mainstream, yes, definitely Bo Kao, number one. I would maybe add Yot Sen Kai as number two, and then Sen Shai now has gained some status internationally also. But for the diehard fans, and their growing base of this of those fans, they know so much. This is great to hear on a daily basis, and I still learn, and I hope that people like me in a learning process learn about the old times, like the golden era. I watched everything on YouTube myself also, and learned how it was in the 80s and then the 90s, and then how it got to the point now. But to answer your question, yes, Burkow, Yot Sen Kai, Sen Shai, biggest names, and those are the names that probably Americans everywhere in the world who are not very familiar with the sport know.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, as well, us being diehards, I mean, I remember those names as well, you know, watching, you know, Sang Tenoi, Diesel Noi, watching Samart, you know, all those guys. And those guys were, yeah, the golden age of Muay Thai, but those were, in a way, we didn't, at least for people that weren't diehards, people that are just getting into the sport now, and probably because of MMA's growth here in the United States, Muay Thai has also enjoyed that growth where it's a respected art because so many MMA fighters integrated it into their repertoire when they go out and fight. Those big names weren't known to a lot of the common fans, I would say. But now, you know, those mainstream names, like when I go on forums for mixed martial arts or forums for Muay Thai that are like the new fans, the names that you get consistently repeated over and over again are obviously the Sanchai, the Buakaw, the Yot Sen Kai. If they're new to the sport, they're very limited in knowledge outside of probably those three big names. Maybe so now, you know, maybe like a Poinsane, a Pacorn, you know, a couple of guys like Sutsukorn, other guys like that people are getting more familiar with. But
well, important is now Superbank. Superbank is one name. I don't know everybody. I know everybody. Not everybody knows. But until Superbank, he's Lumpini Fighter of the Year 2014, Rajadhanwan Fighter of the Year 2014, Sports Writers of Thailand Fighter of the Year 2014, Sports Authorities Fighter of the Year. I forgot one, but there's one more. So now he's the best of 2014. And until if people start to know those fighters, then I think we've come a good way, because people need to know him. He's probably pound for pound the best at the moment. It's just the way it is. And and one day people should know who these fighters are, because probably the best in the world.
Correct. No, and I think that's why it's so important to have sites such as yours that are showcasing these fights from over there, so that people can see the super bond, so they can see these new stars coming up in the fight game that they didn't know were there before or had no idea of, and they're really, you know, limiting themselves. Because I think, in a lot of ways, I don't know, Vin, do you agree? I mean, sometimes I think you'll find that some Muay Thai fans here in the States seem to be pretty limited in their knowledge of Muay Thai, and they love the sport, but they're following, well, I mean, it's the U.S., so they're going to follow pretty much only the American fighters, and they don't know much outside of those guys.
Well, yeah, they're going to follow the mainstream guys, and I think, you know, it's up to people like us to make some of these less known guys more of stars. Mm-hmm. It's up to us to bring them the names and, you know, and Timo to bring them the videos so they can actually see who they are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I mean, you see that a lot, Timo, here, that there are some guys that are very oblivious to the Thai scene, not as interested in it, possibly because the growth here in the United States has been so much that now you have homegrown fighters here as well that are doing really well, and they're amateurs, and now they're going up through the ranks to get to the pros. So you have more of a following in that sense. So there are some people, maybe the younger generation, some that don't watch the fighters from Thailand, and sometimes I feel like that sort of gets lost, where it might be that people are only going to watch Muay Thai here in the United States and watch Muay Thai American fighters and sort of forget that there's this other huge scene going on, unless you start bringing over those super bonds and other those other fighters that are young currently right now to fight maybe foreigners and Americans, you know?
We have this English guy over here now called Daniel McGowan. He's a young 18-year-old who's from England, and he's a small guy. Otherwise, the weight is always a difficulty, because Thais are naturally smaller than the European or the Americans. And Daniel is fighting at a Thai weight here. He's sponsored by Pech India Academy, and the first foreign fighter who is actually being sponsored. And he's won one. He's lost one. But that's what's going to happen here. It's a long way, but it's interesting to see how can a foreigner actually do a Thai weight, and maybe we'll see that more. Maybe we see that more in good Americans are going to come over and say, well, I'm going to challenge those guys in the stadiums. We train hard also. I want to see it if I can hang with them. And like you said before, Pornsanay is a legend. And I think everybody knows that I like Pornsanay. I mean, who doesn't like Pornsanay anyways? Yeah. So, okay. So he's now slowly at the end of his career, and he fights abroad, and he's not that strong anymore. He's still strong, but, you know, he's getting older, like everybody is getting older, and he feels it. And what if he had fought 5-6 years ago against the foreigners? You know, he didn't. And we need to see this, the Thais in their prime versus the foreigners in their prime. And I hope that at one point in the future that actually will happen.
Yeah. Do you, is it now, because obviously back in the day, you didn't see a lot of foreigners fighting in the stadiums, you know, outside of like Ramon Deckers, Murad Sari, all these guys that sort of started fighting in Thai stadiums when nobody else was doing it. But you still don't see like a huge influx of foreigners fighting on these stadiums on huge cards. I mean, the only guys that we had recently were guys like, you know, I don't know, Damian Alamos was one of the guys. Well, is he even fighting anymore? How much do you know?
No, he retired. 100% I don't know the story. I don't think anybody but him and a couple of people know. It's some personal reason, and he retired a year and a half ago, I think it is now. And he was Lumpini champion at 140, but that is basically the highest, 140 pounds, that's basically the highest it goes here.
Yeah.
The City Shy Sitsong Pinong, who is actually also somebody people slowly start to know, he's a 147 pounds Lumpini champion, but that weight is not being fought very often. Mm-hmm. He can only defend his title once a year because there's no opposition. So the weight difference between foreigners and Thais is usually the problem. But, you know, maybe even smaller guys can do it, because there are smaller guys also in our countries, and they could come over and test it out. I mean, now I say it the third time, it's not a Kevin Ross show, is it? Well, he's at 140, and you know, he could fight here as well, and I think he did.
No, I know, and he's, you know, he's one of the guys that's been sort of, I mean, I don't think it's wrong to mention his name tons of times, because he's pretty much one of the largest stars that we have here for Muay Thai is Kevin Ross, because he was sort of in the game before anybody else, or before very few were doing it when Kevin Ross was doing it and coming over here and training and fighting as much as he did. And he's still doing well. I mean, like you said, the rematch he's going to have at Lion Fight with Tetsuya Yamato, and that's going to be an incredible fight, because the first one was pretty great as well. So... is there a lot of foreigners that besides, well, you just said Daniel McGowan, but are there any other foreigners that are currently like stepping up the ranks in Thailand, or is it limited? You know,
it's very limited because of the weight, but there are many foreigners training also for a longer period of time. And also women, a lot of women, you know, women, female fighting is getting bigger also here. They're not only, you know, from America, you know, Sylvie, mm-hmm. who's doing her stuff here, and then you have a Angel Fight as a promotion put up by who is it? Oh yeah, the Sasi Prabha owner, and he's having also foreigners versus Thais in female boxing, Muay Thai, and that is getting more interesting also. So a lot of females are training here also to become fighters. It's absolutely growing, but the weight difference, I don't know if it's ever going to work out, or if the Thais are, they could fight a little bit higher, but you know how it is with the weight cutting and everything. They fight at crazy weights. I mean, Yotvi Shah is probably one of the pound for pound best also now. He's taller than me. I don't know in how much in foot, but I'm 1.82 meters, mm-hmm. and he fights at 135. I mean, that's just like, he's unbelievable. I couldn't make 135 if I didn't eat for a year, I think. It's unbelievable. Yeah. Really? I can't understand how he does that. So the weight will be a problem, but I think the Thais will go abroad and fight at higher weights a little bit, like they do it already. Senchai has always done it, but other people do it also. Give them a couple of pounds here, a couple of pounds there, and then we can still see the fights. And I think that might happen more and more.
I have a quick question. How do the Thais, like the locals, feel about foreigners fighting in, you know, the bigger stadiums? Do they, you know, are they frown upon it, or, you know, what is the thoughts?
It's very difficult to say. I think they do respect them for coming all the way. Sometimes they even wonder why people do that. Why would they come all the way to train the sport? But I think they respect that they come all the way to do this sport, this Thai sport, and maybe at the beginning they're a little bit like, oh, let's see if those guys can fight or not. But if they put on a good fight, which happens a lot, then the Thais are getting into it, and the gamblers are getting into it, and then it can get quite loud at the stadiums as well. So I think they accept and respect it, and I think they actually they like it also, because in the end of the day, they're trying to learn sport, which Thai people in general are pretty proud about.
And then, you know, one other question, Timo, who do you feel? I mean, I don't know if it's common knowledge over there right now about fighters in the United States and the names and everything, but who do you feel, who is sort of the fighter that stands out, the foreign fighter that stands out for Thais in Thailand that you hear that people talk about more and more, or you're surprised that they talk about? Is there anybody out there, anybody in the current scene here abroad that Thais see and they really respect, or they're really interested in, or they at least follow?
And there comes the fourth mention. Yeah, Kevin Ross, obviously. No, I'm not joking. Yeah, it's true. People know that he's trained at the Sitmonchai here. They know that he has a crazy style, which is kind of like, you know, could be Ponthane's brother. So basically, they know him here. Apart from that, I'm very honest. Actually, Thais don't really know fighters a lot. I mean, even the fighters themselves, the Thais, when they fight abroad, they sometimes know nothing about their opponent until they're in the ring and fight. So that is something which I think the foreigners will have to work on, and the only way working on this is to get so strong in the ring that the Thai will remember afterwards. you know what I mean? So yeah, it's at the moment, seriously, people, the fighters and the people don't know much, don't know many foreign fighters. It's just very, I think it's still in the beginning.
What about other fighters from countries besides for America? Like, you know, Giorgio Petrosian from Italy or Fabio Pinca from France. Like, are they known in Thailand?
I would like to say yes, but that's a no. Pinca is interesting. I saw him fight here at a WBC, I think, tournament. It's a couple of years ago, 3 years ago. And he's obviously very well known in the scene, but not from the Thais. Every foreigner knows Pinca and they know Petrosian, but the Thais just... I'm sorry, but I'm honest. I don't think they know him.
And but what, like, that's funny. I mean, that brings up another point. Why do you think that is? Do you think it goes back to sort of maybe they don't really, okay, I don't want to say it in a bad way, but they don't respect them or they don't think that they're that good compared to the guys that are coming out of Thailand, the top-notch names? Or they simply, is that something that the Thais, they don't know or they don't follow? Well, here's an interesting question. They don't follow fighters the way Americans do, because here we build them up. We follow them. We have reality shows about them. You know, they're celebrities in a way. We follow their lives. Do Thais do that? Do they get really invested in a fighter where they're like a fan of a certain fighter? Does that happen?
No, that does not happen. Mm-hmm. And that is the part where I don't know if they want to work on it, but I think they should. And I will try to do it. As I said earlier, I want to bring the fighters closer to the people. Like, how does Senchai tick when he's a private or Superbank or whoever is a big in the stadiums or not? Just if people get to know the personality and how that guy is, they get much more emotionally involved with the person, and that helps the sport again, because you create a star. No, Thais don't follow fighters like this, and that is a lot to do with the gambling, because you're a professional gambler at the stadiums, you can't really have a guy you really like, because you will have to gamble against him most likely or in the next minute. And this is something it's sometimes difficult to understand, but it's just a fact. No, they don't follow fighters that much here.
Well, maybe that's a future business endeavor for the Striking Corner and Muay Thais. Maybe yeah. You know, some reality shows or something.
Seriously, it's not only a joke. It's interesting. Maybe not a reality show, but something similar. Yeah, I mean, maybe a lot of people wonder how the people are, and then we bring them closer to them, and then the people might get involved more and follow the fighters more. I mean, even with not die-hard fans, they just watch my fights most likely, because it can't be that many die-hard fans, because one of the fights got kind of really strangely big, which is a fight. I'm pretty sure you guys don't really know them. I didn't at that time. Also, it's Yotong Tai versus San. Mm-hmm. It involved a lot of blood. The fight was good, but it wasn't like the best I've ever seen or seen last year. And that video is over 600,000. So that can't be diehard fans anymore. So now, and there are a lot of questions in the comment section going like, who are these guys? And I started to realize, yeah, I didn't really know them that well either before. And mm-hmm. Now I bloody know.
But, you know, that's I think that goes back to where it's a cultural question, because I wonder, do you feel that, Timo, do you feel that Thais would follow something like that, even if they were given the chance? That, let's say, given the chance in the sense that, you know, joking around and hypothetically, that Muay Thais and Striking Corner would do not a reality show, but would do small documentaries on each one of these guys, which, you know, our friend John Walcott from Muay Thai Journal, he was doing some, you know, going in depth with some of the other fighters, the lesser known fighters, and trying to get them know a little bit deeper. But is that something that interests Thais? Do you see that the culturally they are interested in that type of stuff? Or is it simply they're not like the Americans, where we sort of want to know everything that's happening behind the scenes? Because I think that's more of a, culturally, I don't know if that's the same. You know, Americans love that type of drama and stuff. I don't know if Thais do.
Thais love drama. And I don't mean that in a bad thing, bad way. Sometimes it's like this year, something works internationally and then the Thais get it later. So now, wouldn't it be interesting if some doesn't have to be a reality show, but something like that would catch on internationally and the Thais get interested in afterwards. It's possible because, I mean, they have all the soap operas here, which come from originally, the whole concept comes from Korea. They obviously are well into American movies now also, or whatever, Hollywood movies. And maybe something, it sounds a bit arrogant, but I say it anyways, maybe we have to create something first and then they understand or they want to be involved again. Maybe, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I have to find out. And John, by the way, coming back to John Walcott, yes, I didn't know him at that time, but I watched it and it's a good concept, a very good concept, similar to what I would like to do. It just needs to be produced even better than he did. He did a good job, a very good job, but it has to be produced better a little bit. And I think maybe John and me will actually in the future, hopefully. John, you hearing this? Can you please take your camera out? I'm trying to tell him we should do something together, and he's up for it as well. And maybe you'll see something coming up with that soon.
Yeah, I mean, cause, and then that'll happen. I mean, because I think, yeah, if it's produced on a larger scale and more people notice, more people see it. But see, that's why I go back and I wonder. I wonder if the people that are going to be watching it, you know, these in-depth, you know, exposés on great fighters such as, let's say, Superbonk or something, so that more people know him, will they be watched by Thais or will they be watched by Americans? They're going to be like, oh, these Thais are so great, but then we're going to kind of stay in the same area. That Americans probably, some Americans or some foreigners are going to know about Thai fighters more than even the Thais themselves know them, you know, so I don't know.
It depends a little bit on it, you know, if... If you think of my YouTube channel and there's 15,000-16,000 subscribers, and that's not only foreigners. Mm-hmm. It's there's a part of it that's also Thais, and automatically they might be exposed to what I put on there or whoever. It doesn't have to be me. It could be anybody else also, and maybe it catches on. I have something coming up not too long from now, which is a longer. Yeah, it's a short documentary, I would call it, about 15 to 20 minutes long, about Kong Sak. Kong Sak used to be Fighter of the Year 2012, I believe, 12, yes. And he's a great example of what I look for those stories, because you see fighters like Pak Hon is rather an outgoing guy, Kong Sak is rather a quiet guy, and showing this part of him, the whole story is about fight day, because I follow him around for the preparations of the fight. I go with them to the stadium in the car, and I just wanted to see how those fighters who have 150 fights or something plus, are they excited? Are they nervous? What's going on? Is it important? Obviously, it's important to win, but is it really bad if they lose? And all of this hopefully can be kind of captured in this story, and then maybe Thais watch it.
That, like I said, yeah, I mean, I think that's where it needs to go, because I would love to see more things like that. And I would love to see, you know, more about, I hopefully, you know, that Thais would get just as involved or be just as interested in the fights in that sense, like the behind the scenes and all those things. Like, I think it would grow the sport, and the fighters would have more opportunities to go abroad and foreigners go there as well. But I think I think you would have to agree that it has to come from really both sides. You know, like you were saying, there's got to be more foreigners going out there and actually making a lot of sacrifices to go fight, let's say, in Thailand and in the Thai scene. But the thing is, the opportunities here in the U.S. have sort of grown to where maybe they feel like they don't have to do that anymore, that go to Thailand to get noticed, because they're getting bigger paydays and, well, then probably what Thais would offer in Thailand. You have something like...
Well, that's what I said. First, it has to be at some point the sport, you know. Yeah. People would have to love to compete against the best, because we have that. We haven't had that in boxing in a long time. So I think in MMA is a little bit better. I don't follow it so closely, but from what I gather is I think at least people fight each other who are really, really good, and it's not all this ducking. It's not that much in MMA, at least what I feel. And maybe one day in Muay Thai it's like also like this, that the Americans might say, or Europeans or whoever, we are getting better money now in our countries, but I really want to compete against the best. And that's the main concept of any sports. You wanna see how good you are. Mm-hmm. And then that. But you see, you have I'm not alone here in Thailand. It sounds like I'm the only one doing some stuff about Muay Thai. You have Rob Cox, who's bloody hell. He's the pioneer of foreign journalism about Muay Thai, and you've got other people who are reporting on it. And I'm just a little puzzle piece, I think. And if everybody puts everything together, then it helps show people in America or wherever, somewhere else, what the real Muay Thai is all about.
All right. So, Timo, in conclusion, to round everything up, I wanted to ask you a couple of questions in the sense of, who do you feel right now in the Muay Thai scene and in your expertise from watching over there right now, who do you think are some fighters that are coming up or maybe not as well known that Americans definitely need to be checking out right now in Thailand that are from the Thai scene?
I said Superbank. The problem with him is he's an absolutely a tactical fighter. So it's difficult for even sometimes for me, because I am still a beginner, sometimes to really 100% enjoy it. But I do more and more because his ring vision and his tactical finesse is just so good. So Superbank is one. Pacon, if you don't know him already here in America, then please check out Pacon. He's been in battles for the last 8 years already, but he's still kind of young. He's 23, 24, I think. And he's a 135-pound Lumpini champion. He's one people should check out. And there are so many. We talked about everybody loves Pornsané for his fighting style, because that's what in the West we really like to see. And they're more like the Sek San. Ok Kwan Myung is, for me, if you look at a couple of fights from last year, I filmed, or I didn't film all, but most of them, he was an amazing, crazy battle. Whereas Pacon is my fight of the year of last year. Then he had just recently he had a fight where it was all low kicks, and he almost couldn't walk, but he was still low kicking back and won the fight eventually. And that is something people should see. Sek San, Ok Kwan Myung, and so many, but like for now, that should be enough, I think. Check those out.
All right. Well, I think a lot of people here already know Pacon, because actually, in the next couple of weeks here in New York, there's a big 3-day seminar with Pacon and Sanchai. So I think a lot of people here already know him.
Yeah, good. So then I give you another one. Maybe there's a good up-and-comer is Thaksin Lek. He fought a series of fights with a Superbank over the last year. He couldn't win it. He had one draw, and it was always very close. He's an absolutely great technician and beautiful to watch. He's going to have a fight very soon on the 12th of February at Ratchadam Nern. He's going to fight Pechu Tong. And also on that card, we talked about Sek San being crazy. He's going to fight another a little bit crazy fighter, which is Tananchai To Sang Tien Noi, fighting out of the legendary Sang Tien Noi camp. Mm-hmm. This one is going to be, I write a fight of the year on it before even having seen it. It's going to be crazy. And so, yeah, Thaksin Lek, and you watch Sek San and Superbank, and then I think you're good to go and just basically watch as many as you can, and you will find one you really enjoy.
And now this is more of a question of your likes, Timo. Obviously, you've mentioned Kevin Ross like 6 or 7 times, so I'm pretty sure you're a big fan of his as well. But who do you think?
I don't like Ross.
So who else right now do you feel is somebody that you would like? I mean, maybe you like him right now and you think he's really, really good, American or foreigner or outside of the United States, but that you think has really a shot to be very big, that you think that they have talent to maybe go abroad, or you would like to see him go abroad and fight bigger names. Do you have anybody that you could think of besides Kevin?
Okay. I don't think he has a chance to be big anymore, but I always enjoyed watching Gabriel Varga. He's interesting to watch in kickboxing. Mm-hmm. Always enjoyed it. He's very, a lot of quick punches, kicks, whatever. He's good. And then you have Toby Smith from Australia, but he's already very well known. Mm-hmm. he beat John Wayne Parr in the last fight. So yeah, he's well known already, but he's one of the best, I would say. And then you have a lot of younger guys who are training actually in Thailand already, which are quite good. I never really 100% know how to pronounce his name. Is Ongen Topic, I think.
Oh yeah, big fans of Ongen Topic. He's amazing. I know he's currently out there training full time, I believe.
Yeah,
right?
He got back here. He was here for a long time. Then he went back to the States, and he just got back here, I think, 2 weeks ago, I think. Uh-huh. And he's now here for goodish or whatever. He wants to stay for a longer time. And yeah, I like to watch him. You have other long-termers or even really long-termers, like there's one guy called Matthias Casarino. He's used to train at Sitsong Pinong, and that guy is a foreigner who actually lived here for almost his whole young life. He's only 19, but he lived here since he was 10, I think. That guy, he's very good also, and there are lots of other ones. You know, every gym actually has one foreigner you could just say, okay, I like to see him a little bit more. And so it's always interesting to see all the upcomers here as from a foreign viewpoint.
Very cool, very cool. So with that said, Timo, thank you for joining us today. As always, it's great to sit down and speak with you about everything that has to do with Muay Thai. I think you're doing something really, really good in bringing Muay Thai, especially the videos from all these stadium fights. You're bringing it into everybody's, let's say, living room or their computer or their mobile phone now, with the way technology's moved on. And now you can see these top-notch Muay Thai fights from the biggest stadiums in Thailand. You can see them all through Muay Thais. Check them out on YouTube, Muay Thais. And so with that said, you know, Timo, when we start finishing up here, we usually like to comment on where people can follow you or where they can check out your site. So I don't know if you want to give them any either social media or where they can basically check out the fights online, if you want to sort of throw that out there.
The YouTube channel is Champ Boxing Magazine, or you can also type in Muay Thai into YouTube. And I'm on Twitter as well. It's Muay Thai with Muay and then T-I. And on Facebook, it's Muay Thais, and that's about it, I think. And then I hope you all enjoy the fights. And thank you for having me again. It was great.
A lot of fun. Thank you very much, Timo. So, and on our end, you can check us out at MuayThaisLife.com. You can also check us out, on MuayThaisLife.com, you can find the Striking Corner podcast, but you can also check us out directly on SoundCloud.com/The Striking Corner. You can also find us on iTunes, and now we are also on TuneIn. And we're also on the Stitcher app. Make sure you download the Stitcher app. You can find great podcasts such as Joe Rogan Experience, The Fighter and the Kid, tons of great podcasts all on the Stitcher app. Make sure you download that. And before I go, a very quick shout out to Blunted Beats. Blunted Beats is basically a production team of hip-hop music from Hamburg, Germany, which is ironically is also, or coincidentally, is where Timo's from. But they also provide us with the beats of the music that you're hearing on all of our podcasts. So thank you to Blunted Beats. Vinny, tell them how they can contact you. Oh, before I go, hold on. You can contact me at eric@strikingcorner.com, and you can also contact me on Twitter at ericrd1982, also at Muay Thai is Life. We're always there. Vinny, how are they going to get in touch with you?
Vinny with a Y at strikingcorner.com. Best way.
All right. So thank you guys for joining us once again. Thank you to Timo Ruch from Muay Thais. And we will be talking to you soon, hopefully another podcast in 2 weeks with another stellar guest. And thank you guys for listening, and thank you for all of your support.
You've been listening to The Striking Corner, your source for Muay Thai and kickboxing news worldwide.